a difficult job that I set before myself to try and say, capture in some words a little bit of a glimpse of what tells Rosh Hashiva, Chaim Yaakov ben Binyamin Moshe, Zichro Livracha, meant, and what he means to us, the fact that he's not here. I want to maybe come from that angle. There's a song which became popular, a Yiddish song which became popular, I'd say in the end of the 70s and beginning of the 80s. There's a Yiddish song about that a person has to take a spodek, which is worn by certain chassidim, and they should put it away as a treasure, so one day able to show the generations to come via how an erlich you used to look. And it was a nice Yiddish song. And the Shiva Reb Chaim Zichro Livracha used to like the song very much. We used to sing it a lot. We used to go from Mesiva to the house. We would sing this song. One time the Rebbetzin was there, Alel Shalom Rebbetzin was there, and she came out and she says she doesn't like the song. Says, the song is a song of defeat. We have to hide away this spodek to one day show our children what an Erlich Yid looked like. It says, Baruch Hashem, there's thousands of people walking on with spodeks now. It's not. It's a song where Orthodoxy was in retreat. It looked like it's going to fold. The conservative reform are going to take over the world. And once upon a time, there was an Erlich Yid, and you know, at least you should know what he looked like. So we're going to hide this, put this spodek away, as you know, in the museum. So it's not true. We're vibrant, we're growing, etc. So she didn't like the song. And that was the end of us. From then on, we never sang the song. And I was thinking, who is right? I think they're both right. The came to America, and Orthodoxy was in retreat. Frumkeit was in the 40s, the 50s. They all said, you know, that Torah is going to grow in America. You know, the good old lines of when hair grows in the palm of my hand, that's when Torah is going to grow in America. And we look now beyond anybody's, you know, the wildest dreams, the Hatzlacha of Torah in America. So the Rebbetzin was right. But you know what? Medaf Behalten, Aspodek, and Alten, Bechad Chodom, and Zeigit. That have been to some of the visit. Capture what that world looked like. A person who grew in the world of Torah, in the world of Torah before the war. To capture that, we haven't been able to capture that again. And we had a few Yechidim left. A few Yechidim left. She was one of the last Yechidim. She was in America, it was the last one. It's the end of the Kufa. It's a Gemara in Tainus. Gemara in Tainus, Daf Tes, the Gemara says, the Bereshit says, Pasuk in Zechariah, the Bereshit says that I'm going to take Shlosh HaZaroyim V'Yerech Echa. So the Gemara says in Tainus, what's Shlosh HaZaroyim V'Yerech Echa? It's referring to Moshe, it's referring to Aaron, it's referring to Miriam. It says, what does it mean V'Yerech Echa in the same month? It says, Miriam was Nifteris in Nisan. Aaron was Nifter in Av. And Moshe was Nifter and Adar. It was in the same year, but it wasn't B'Yerech Echa. It was Nisan, the last year. It was Ovid, the last year. And there was Adar, the last year. What's the B'Yerech Echa? So the Gemara says that the Klal Yisrael had three matonas in the Midbar. They had three matonas in the Midbar. They had the matona of the Mon, they had the matona of the Mayim, they had the matona of the Anonim Yaakovim. They had the Mon, B'Zchus Moshe. They had the Anonim, B'Zchus Aaron. And they had the Mayim B'Zchus Miriam. When Miriam was Nifteris, the Mayim went away. And it came back B'Zchus Moshe and Aaron. When Aaron was Nifter, the Anonim came back, and they came back B'Zchus Moshe. And Klal Yisrael still had all three Matonas in the Midbar. They had the Mon, and they had the Mayim, and they had the Be'er, all B'Zchus Moshe. And Moshe is Nifter, and they all left. So they felt the pain, not of the loss of Moshe, but they felt the pain of Aaron and Miriam. But at that moment they realized they lost the end of a tekufa. I never saw that world. But I was zeicher to see a yidden who lived in that world. I was zeicher to see a yidden who had grew up in that world. And I wanted to try a little bit, just to give you a little bit of a mussig of what we lost. I don't even get to say the words. A little bit of a mussig of what I saw, the glimpse that I saw. I try to give over in words the glimpse that I saw. Touch on a few different areas. The first area was the mussig of, which is befitting a Rosh Hashiva, befitting an Adam Gadol. It's the world of Hasmada. The world of Hasmada. Shiva Zichel Ivracha was known in Europe as he was a redhead. When I knew him, he wasn't a redhead. He was already white. He was all the years I remember him, he was white. In Europe, he was known that his name in the yeshiva was the Reuter Masmid, the redhead Masmid. So it means a lot, the Reuter Masmid. But what does it mean? I want to tell you just. Immersion of the Mall gives you excuse. You meet, you see people, and you don't know what they are. I was once standing in the corner over here by the shul, and there's this Alta Yid David in the shul. I said Alta Yid. I haven't seen him since. I imagine he's not here anymore. I remember his name. I have to go back, I don't know, probably 10 years ago. I started choosing with him in Yiddish because that was his mamalosh, and he was all excited he could speak to a young man in Yiddish. So I asked him about it. Come to you. I asked him, so he tells me he came from Litta. He learned in Tells, and he learned in Sabotka. There's a little old Yid over here in the shul, which you don't know who he was or what he was. He was a Yid who learned in Tells and learned in Sabotka. So we were talking a little bit. So I told him, I learned in Tells. I learned in Tells. He says, Tells in Europe, each yeshiva had their nickname. He says, in Sabotka, the nickname for Sabotka was Sabotka Yiluya. Because everybody in Sabotka was an Yiluya. Some people were Halbi Eluiz, some people were Fertil Eluiz, Dry Fertil Eluiz, Gatsa Eluiz, but everybody's an Eluiz. To be in Sabbath, it's given an Eluiz. Al's given an Eluiz. The nickname for Tells in Europe was Tells in Masmidim. The Shmuah in Europe was, now, remember, you have to picture this. The Shmuah in Europe was Tells in Masmidim. When, you know, the average yeshiva, you know, in Mir, they were staying up to 3 o'clock in the morning every night. So, you know, what do you mean, Tells in Masmidim? You get a Muslim what that meant. And in that world, she was known as the Reuter Masmid. The Rishiva went through Siberia. He was there, he had a Gemara with him in Siberia. He had a Gemara Zvachim. And when one time mentioned to me that he chazed over Zvachim, he'd already learned it a few times. He chazed over in Siberia. He had a chance to chazed over Zvachim. That's all he had with him is Zvachim. What did he do in Siberia? What was his job in Siberia? In Siberia, his job was that, and he one time told me, he says, the reason why he could have gotten a different job, he chose this job. He says, they were, the camp they were, the labor camp they were in, his job was to cut down trees. So cutting trees, and they had to work on Shabbos also. Cutting trees is the malach of the rice. See, he got the job of, after they cut the trees, they would have to pull out the roots from the ground. And that's only the Rabbanan, that's not the Raisa, because the tree is dead already. So he took that job, even though it was a harder job, because that was not Chilul Shabbos, the Raisa. They started, as soon as it got light, they started, which in the summertime in Siberia, getting light was 3 o'clock in the morning. And they worked till it got dark, because they shut up in sight. You know, that's what they're there for, to work. It's not here to play games, you're here to work. So you work until 11, 12 o'clock at night. And he would come back and he would learn. He had a notebook of Chiddushei Torah, Ha'oris, that he wrote. Not a notebook. He had papers. They looked and they had papers. It wasn't, because paper was very expensive, because everybody wanted paper, because they used to make cigarettes out of the paper. So, but he would write on different things he could find. He had notes, Chiddushei Torah, he had written Ha'oris on the Sefer Zvachim. He went and told me he chazed Zvachim while he was in Siberia 14 times. I can't picture that I should learn three blot in that world. And he chazed Zvachim 14 times in that world. I was just talking to one of my chaverim now. He told me, he says, asked him, I'm speaking tonight, he says, tell me something. He said he was talking to one of the Anaclocks when they were flying from Lakewood to JFK. They flew in a private jet to catch the plane to go to Eretz Yisrael. So he flew in that plane. So one of the Anaclocks said, he was told him that he one time asked his Zaydi, he says, what Masechta are you going to take your Bechina on? A few years ago, he asked him, what Masechta are you going to take your Bechina on? So Rav Shiva said right away, he says, Bekiyas or Be'iyun? So he said, Be'iyun. He says, Be'iyun is Kulun. He says, why Kulun? So he says, I have a Chiddush Lamita Shel Torah in every single blot in Maseches Kulun. He says, Bekiyas is Zvachim. Whatever the Shiva, we talked to him on learning, anything. One summer I had a Therusa with Rashiva together. I didn't know what that meant. It was a Bacher. So I'll have right an opportunity to learn with Rashiva together, with Therusa. I asked if he would learn with me. He said, Gzuntai. I didn't prepare the night beforehand. What did I know? You know, it's the first time I did this. I was 20 years old, 21 years old. So we came in and we were learning Nar Marosa, Masechus Nadarma Nar Marosa. Now those who live in the Yeshiva world that know Nar Marosa, it was the parak that when in Panyamish they would learn Nar Marosa, Rav Shachar refused to say Shira Mana because he said, I don't understand it, I can't say Shira. So I'm learning Nar Marosa with the Rosh Hashiva. And I come in on the first morning and there's a gigantic round, just in the dorm, there's big rounds on the side of the page. And you learn the round. And he starts reading the round. Now, for those of you who live in Silver Spring, we know that there are some people who can daven very fast. He read that Omid of Ran and he swallowed it whole. That's the best way of putting it. He swallowed it whole. It took him about 3 minutes, one minute. He swallowed the Ran whole. He started discussing it. I realized, I better prepare before I come into this Arusha Shah. You could talk to him anywhere in Shas. He says, first let's see the Gemara. Let's see the Gemara meant looking at it for about 3 seconds, and now I saw the Gemara. But anywhere, you could talk to him anywhere, because it's what it means to be a Talmid Chacham. He was in Lakewood a few years ago, so they came in for a Simcha. So they asked him to speak in one yeshiva, say a shir. Another yeshiva, he walked in, holding different mesechta, say a shir, he said a shir. So a different yeshiva, holding different mesechta, say a shir, he said a shir. He said a shir, wherever he was holding, he said a shir. One yeshiva, he walks in, they're holding him, Hema Makasha, Masechta Schulam, Hema Makasha. He sat down for a minute, so he says, okay, I'm ready. It's been great. I'm ready. After Sabir, he came to America. There was a yid in Cleveland, his name was Rameir Zanitsky, Zichul of Rocha. A yid of Talmid Chacham, a person who Shas Bal Peh. Shas, Tanakh, Rashi Bal Peh, a person who everything Bal Peh. It was Mashon of the Yid. See, he said over one time, he says, Rashi Rabhaim asked him, when he came there, he asked him, you know, get me a mechinah. Give me a mechinah, Masechta Zevachim. He says, not a Gemara Rashi Tosfos, he says, anything on the page. The Chilufi Gersos of the Tzayin Kedoshim. Give me a mechinah, anywhere in the Masechta, whatever you want. So Rabbi Zinitsky said, there's somewhere in Masechta Zevachim, there's a Horah, which is only, that Mechaber is one Horah in the Gantz Masechta. So he asked him, what does he say? So he said, tell him exactly what he says. Says Rav Zinitsky said after the Hercharota, one time, obviously you can remember one time, that's no good. He should have asked them, all of the horrors of the Tzayin Kedoshim, which is, all of the horrors of the Tzayin Kedoshim, that's what he should have asked them for. My Rebbe, Rav Shalom Shapiro Shlita, one time told me that they used to have, they didn't have time, he's a Talmud Mubit for the Roshiva. And they didn't always have time to talk and learn. So they had an hugger. They used to share a notebook. So what happens, Rav Shalom would write Ha'orah in his notebook, and they would leave it on the Rashiva's desk. Rashiva would look at the Ha'orah and write back something, and leave it on my Rebbe's desk. And they would go back and forth. And this is like, they had a chance to talk and learn. They were too busy. So they could do it at their own leisure. So my Rebbe told me, he says, that the Rashiva, he says, you couldn't chop him on a Kervet Shurim or Arsamech. You know, the Kervet Shurim and Gantz Arsamech. You couldn't chop him on an Arsamech. You could pull out any Arsamech you wanted, any Kervet Shurim you wanted. He could pull out any moment, he could pull it out. My Harvard told me, he was talking, the present-day Munkacha Rebbe is a Telzer Talmud. He's a Talmud of the Rosh Hashiva. And he was once by Nasipas Gdolim, and Rashi Rukhaim was there, and he was looking at a Tanakh. So he figures, looking at the Tanakh, he's preparing to speak. He didn't speak. So he went over to Rebbe, he said, Rebbe, he says, what was the Rebbe looking at? He says, this is he of a person to know Kol Torah Kuvah. He says, I haven't learned Rashi and Tanakh recently, so I'm crossing over Rashi and Tanakh, because I haven't learned Rashi and Tanakh recently. I learned the Shiva Reb Chaim that summer, so we'd start at 9:30 and we'd go straight to 1:30. There was no hapsik. It was 4 hours of straight learning, which is a normal seder in yeshiva supposed to look like. Without a hapsik, 4 hours. And we didn't talk. We didn't shmooze. There was no such thing as shmoozing. It wasn't the gay. It was straight 4 hours of him throwing Torah at me. One day he walks in. It was Hey Ov. Hey Ov is Reb Chaim Mirza's yard site. Says, I want to tell you my story of Reb Chaim Mirza. Says he was a bacher when Achiezer Chelek Beis came out. Achiezer Chelek Beis was his on Kodshim. So he's a bacher already. He was a bacher in yeshiva, but he wrote to Oris to Reb Chaim Mirza on the sefer on the Kodshim because he learned Kodshim already. He wrote to Oris on Kodshim to Reb Chaim Mirza. About 6 months later, the yeshiva sent him to Vilna. He never seen Reb Chaim Mirza, but Reb Chaim Mirza was. The yeshiva sent him to Vilna for the body yeshivas to arrange certain things, but how the yeshivas arranged it, and Reb Chaim Mirza was in charge of all the body yeshivas. He sent him to Vilna. He says he walked into the waiting room by Reb Chaim Mirza's waiting room. Reb Chaim Mirza's waiting room, he says, was God's Klais was in the waiting room. There was Ashirim, and there was Haskonim, and there was poor people, and there was Ammanas, and there was Yisraimim, and there was Rabbanim, and there was the whole God's Klais was sitting waiting in Reb Chaim Mirza's waiting room. It's his turn, finally, Shalom Lechem Chaim Steinfeld tells, the confession is A and Z, you asked me this and this, this is the answer. On the spot. So he said, Gedung, and I argued. I said, no, and he disagreed why he thought the answer wasn't good. He says, for 20 minutes, the world stopped. He says, the Reb Chaim Mirza was talking, learning with the book. For 20 minutes, the world stopped. After 20 minutes, the book, I can't talk anymore, there's people waiting. What did you come for? And he took care of me. So Rashi Reb Chaim told me this story to point out to me what Reb Chaim Mirza was. And I'm thinking a person going to hold his own with Reb Chaim Mirza for 20 minutes. It's not bad either. Shiva went through a lot of Yisurim in his life. He had one of his granddaughters was Nifteris a few years ago. Reb Shmuel Zalman's daughter was Nifteris. So one of the very close person was very Tamidim to Shiva, to Yehuda Morgenstern, was given the difficult job to go to inform the Shiva that his granddaughter passed away and to take him to the airport to bring him to the Levaya. And he's driving, and here's the Shiva talking to himself. And Yiddish, obviously, he says, Rashi, I know that this is happening because of my chatoyim, that because of the chatoyim you're sending me Yisurim. He said, but I bet, please, it shouldn't be Yisurim, a bittul Torah. Yisurim, I'm Makabi Yisurim Ba'avah. I deserve the Yisurim, I'm Makabi Yisurim Ba'avah, but please, it shouldn't be Yisurim and Bithel. There was go back a generation, but some of you maybe haven't heard of him. There was a Yid that came out from Russia, a Yid, that was the Rivnitzer Rebbe, It was a Kaddish of a Torah, he was a Baal Moifis, he was a tremendous tzaddik. See, he had a chosid who raised the family in Russia with beard and payas. In Russia, the family name is Berkowitz. They live in Cleveland now. So the old Reb Shimon Berkowitz, Alta Shimon Berkowitz, his family zechah to come to America with him as a shvacha, and he made a chosid in Cleveland. And the Rebbe's Rebbe came to Cleveland. So Shiva Reb Chaim went to the Rebbe to get a bracha from the Rebbe. So the Rebbe asked the Shiva, says, "What bracha can I give you?" So he asked for three things. The third thing that he asked for is the person who was there. And says, the third thing that he asked for, he says, my bochrim, they're also going to do him. I want a bracha that as much as they're also going to do him, it shouldn't come with bittul Torah. They should be able to still be living and learning. That Cleveland was a schlep because most shidduchim were in New York. Schlep from Cleveland to New York and back again, again and again. It shouldn't be with bittul Torah. They should be zeicha that it shouldn't share their learning. When Reb Elamir Zatzal was nifter, Reb Elamir Bloch, it tells Rosh Hashiva was nifter, so Reb Motl, his brother-in-law and partner in building the yeshiva in America, got up and he announced that the Reb Elamir is gone, but there's Shloshes HaGibarim, there's the three Gibarim, which is a play in a pasuk in Novi, talks about the Shloshes HaGibarim, Shalom Tov, the Shloshes HaGibarim, which are going to sustain the yeshiva. Baruch Hu Sirotim Tzatzel, Ramat Lekifter Tzatzel, and Shiv Reb Chaim Tzatzel. Especially the Rambam were taken the Yerach Echad. Shiv Reb Baruch went away in 1979. We still had the Shiv Ramat Lekifter and Shiv Reb Chaim. Shiv Ramat Lekifter was taken away by Shiv Reb Chaim. He's gone. The Shiva had Musag and what it means to be a Talmud. We talk about a person wants to be a Talmud. He wants to have, a Rebbe. It's not enough. You know, he wants to have a Rebbe. So what does it mean to have a Rebbe? What does it mean to be a Talmud? I'll tell you two mices. I was back in Cleveland for a Simcha. My nieces got married and I went back for a Simcha. And it came out. I was able to hop around the city, go to hear a shir by the Rosh Hashiva, the Pilpul shir. So the seventh shir was ended shir in Gittin, Sugatain Kaschi. And it was so wonderful to be able to sit in shir again and hear the Rashiva say shir, be a Talmud again, argue with him, learning a little bit. After shir, I walked him out. We were walking together. Rashiva says to me in Yiddish, he says, last time I said the shir, when I was still in yeshiva, I added another part to the shir, which I didn't say this time. I didn't remember, and I gave him this blank look, I remember. She says to me, I didn't say it last time. So I said, it's very possible Rashiva said it, I don't remember. His mind couldn't absorb that. He says, I didn't say it last time, I remember saying it. He says, Esther Shiva Yegazok, thank you. I don't remember. Ichadik Zogt? I didn't say it last time. And this conversation went around three times. His mind couldn't absorb that a Rebbe said something the Talmud didn't remember. If the Talmud didn't remember, it means he didn't say it. He remembered saying it. He was confused. He was partially confused. It's not shy that a Talmud would remember what a Rebbe said. It's not shy. It means he didn't say it. He remembered saying it. He was confused. Finally, I realized that we're not going anywhere. I walked all the way across the back hallway, going around this conversation. We're already in the coat room. I said, "The Shiva Yegazot, the Shiva said it." He said, "Ah, Yegazot." And he was happy. And I was saying, you know, I just got a lesson on what it means to be a Talmud. The Shiva was a Talmud. He went to tell the Shiva. He told me one time that he heard a full cycle of Shurim, Arab Chaim tells him. Together with the blocks, there was also the Rashiva, it was a Chaim Rabinowitz, it was known as Chaim Telzer. He was there for 1931. The cycle of Shurim in those days was 5 years. So he heard a full cycle of Shurim by Chaim Telzer. From 26 to 31, he was there by the Shur. He would quote things from his Rebbe. And I'm talking about, I'm sitting in Shur in the 80s and the 90s, he was quoting things from his Rebbe. Somewhere at the end of the 80s, a person published, I think his grandfather had been, or his father or grandfather had been a Talmud Reb Chaim Telzer, and he found the notebooks from, they decided to publish from the notebooks of the Reb Chaim Telzer, the Shurim of Reb Chaim Telzer. So they published the notes, they published the Shurim. So we brought it into the Shiva, and a few of us were standing there, and, you know, were standing there in his office, and he's flipping through the pages, and he's looking through the Shurim. That's not how he said it. He said like this and this and this. He said this like this and this. This he said, oh, that's right, that's correct. This is not correct. Page after page after page. Rebbe said, you remember? He was after 1931, and this is about 1988. So it's a few years since then. But it's a Rebbe. What do you mean you forgot what Rebbe said? Was a world, that world was a world of emunah bitachon. The world of emunah, the world that Kadosh Baruch Hu was emunah pshuta. The Russian was there. Every Rosh Hashanah, Rashi would get up, and he would say the Shemuz at the beginning of Rosh Hashanah. Every Rosh Hashanah, probably the years I heard the Shemuz, that I understood the Shemuz. Right at the times, he would start with the David Hashem Ari B'Yishi. Ari is Rosh Hashanah. And he would stand and tell the Duchen is raised. And he would look out He says, and the world is full with light. The world is full with light. And he realized he was seeing the light. He was seeing the aura of Rosh Hashanah. And I was saying, why don't I see that aura? He was seeing the aura of Rosh Hashanah. Rashi one time told me, he says, he went through the Mechama, he lost a tremendous amount of Mishpacha in the Mechama. Married brothers, sisters-in-law, children, nieces, nephews, he lost a tremendous amount in the war. He says that the war was a Kiddush Hashem. Chazal say, when the Kiddush Baruch Hu was always with Tzadikim, Shmoy is Nis Alam and Nis Kalis. Kiddush Baruch Hu's name is exalted. If with Tzadikim, this is how the Baruch Hashem deals with. So what about us? Kal v'chomer by us. That's what Chazal say, that when the Baruch Hashem gives Einshim, he says the Baruch Hashem showed what Midas Adin is. Midas Adin, without being tempered, it was Midas Rachel. That's what the Mechama was. It was a chance to see what Midas Adin is. It wasn't, you know, where is the Bar Yerlin? His Emunah was weakened. His Emunah was strengthened by the Mechama. She one time said, there was a Chazal say that Umas Yerlin come and they attack Klal Yisrael. And they think they're going to make a dent in Klal Yisrael. It's a mussel like a bird which has its nest by the Chayf Hayam, by the seashore, and it has its eggs in there. And the tide comes in, the waves come in, the tide comes in and takes, and it washes away the eggs. So the bird says, "I'm going to take revenge on the yam. I'm going to empty out the yam." And it goes and takes a little bit of water in its beak and empties it out. And again, it says, it doesn't do anything. As much as it takes, it doesn't. It's not mechaser from the yam at all. Kaf umas arlam, the same thing umas arlam, whatever they do, it does not mechaser from Klal Yisrael. So she went to said, 6 million people is not being mechaser from Klal Yisrael. Zeres tach v'tat is not being mechaser. The thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people were killed. Churban Abayis, because I'll talk about Churban Abayis, the numbers of Churban Abayis. What does it mean that they weren't mechaser from Klal Yisrael? What does Chazal say? The Meshiva answered, the answer only is a person who lives with this answer. It says, from the perspective of eternity, it didn't affect us at all. It was like a tiba minayam. From the perspective of Netzach, there was nothing. You can't say that word unless you live that world. Tells Meshiva went up through ups and downs. The Kufa Meshiva was there in America. Tuva, I was there in America, went through ups and downs and challenging times, etc. And I have to tell you, I never saw the Reshiva giving up, saying it's not going to work. If it's Zayin good, it's going to be good. If it's Mechazik Zayin, will be Mechazik. If it's Zayin good, it is good. It'll work, we'll do, we'll accomplish. He never stopped. He never said it can't do, it can't be. Reshiva had a son who was Nifter. Predeceased him. This son was, as a bach already, became sick with a brain tumor. Went through a surgery. Baruch Hashem, successful. Came back. Eventually had stroke. It was very difficult. There was another young man in yeshiva at that time also had a difficulty. And he was balmanag, and he composed the song Chaste Hashem Kilo Yisam. The pasuk Chaste Hashem Kilo Yisam. And yeshiva used to sing that pasuk. That was like, it was his favorite. Song was Chas Hashem Kilo Yisam, that nigga. All the Chassidim of Kadosh Baruch Hu did for him that his son was able to recover. I remember we used to sing it by a single Beis Hashoeva. There was two songs that Shiva used to like. It was Save Yeshua Yaakov and Chas Hashem Kilo Yisam. And we would sing Chas Hashem Kilo Yisam, and the Shiva would just dance to it, and we would dance around him, etc. And I'm thinking, you know, his son is sick. His son is in a nursing home. And he's singing Chas Hashem Kilo Yisam. This Shabbos was a very difficult Shabbos for me, and I was saying a halal, and I was saying a halal, and I was crying. And I was thinking, you know, instead of focusing on how much pain I have, the Rishiva would have focused on how many years I was zeichah to have him. The Hodel Hashem Kitzayv Kilo Lam Chasdo was zeichah to have him for so many years. He was marach yomim so many years beyond. Look at the schus that we had him for all those years. But still painful. And when I came here, so I came here in the summer of 1997, August. Sukkot's time we went back to Cleveland, so of course he went to visit by Rosh Hashiva. So Rosh Hashiva asked, what's going on? How's it going? So I started kvetching. Now that's part of a yeshiva, part of it being coming a man, a yeshiva walker, you're supposed to kvetch, you know. Right? So I started kvetching, this thing not good, that thing not good. Two sentences of kvetches, he says, so 80%, is it 80% good? He stopped for a second, says it's 80% good. He says, you know what, you don't get better than 80% in life, tell me shekel ter. The conversation ended there. That was it. That's how you're not looking. The Bershom gives what he gives, and what he doesn't give, and go fight them. Rishiva, when he would say Shiri Das, it's interesting the different styles of the Rishivas that said Shiri Das. Rishiva Gifter had the koyach to get up and talk about one thing for 45 minutes straight. And you walk away, he talked about one kind, and you wouldn't be bored. And he wouldn't even say Maisalach. He's able to talk and hold you on one topic for 45 minutes straight. Rosh Hashiva Chaim in 45 minutes would talk about 57 different things. He'd bring 50 different things, and Chazals and Rechaim HaKadoshes and Memorals. I mean, he would throw the Swarm at you. And that was his style. And he would know, he would prove his point from this, prove his point from that, another Raya, another Gedank, and this would flow into that. And it was, you know, he would move from point to point. It was over. The Shiva gift, you know, you'd write down the Shir Das, you'd write down one point. It was like three lines. Like, I mean, it was the same point over and over again. And it was Gevaldik, it was Geshrak. You know, it impacted you. It wasn't worth writing. I mean, there was times you'd say a whole Machshav, which, you know, that was a long, but there were times you could just say, well, the Shiva of time, it's just, you had writer's cramp. You want to write it down. But all the Yediyah, all the Bekiyahs, and all the his Emunah was Emunah Pshutim, and it was the world of the world before the war, where the Bar Elam is Pashut. Most of the Gresham Meisim, that also says they Pashut. The same with his Bekiyahs in learning. Like, you know, he didn't talk about it. It was like, you know, like he saw his Rebbeim, like everybody was like that. This is his man. You know, like what's the Gresham Meisim? Of course, you know. A Talmud Chacham in Europe was a different world. It was a different world. Shira Gifter one time told me, he says, explain to me what the Bechina was for Smicha. Just a picture of what it means. The Bechina for Smicha in Tel's Yeshiva. So the Tel's Rav did not give a Smicha. There's a city near Tel's called Bainut. So the Bainut Rav, Rav Ezra Altshuler, it was this little dinky town. It was about the size of his table, he said. The whole town was about the size of his like under this table, under the tishda. He's going to Goynadr. Goynadr, he says, to give you a mushroom, it means a Goynadr. Says he once went to speak to learning with he was by a chas, Rav Avidim Miller Zatzal, got married in Vainut. So Rav Gifter went to the chas. He was learning in Tells, Rav Avidim Miller was learning in Sabotka. They knew each other, he went to the chas. So I went over to the Mutarab to talk and learning. So I had a kasha, was walking some of Vav. He says, you want to ask him a kasha? He says, no, Esh, that was in the Gemara. See the Gemara first. So I went, Yeshiva tells me, I went to get a Gemara. He said, look, command this. Now that's what I mean. He said, over verbatim, Gemara Rashi Tois says, some of Vav an Aleph, some of them a Beis. Vos Vos Tefrek. Word for word, on the spot, you know, like a Milvachasna, some of them an Aleph, some of them a Beis. Vos Vos Tefrek. And that was my Mutarab. So what was the Bechin? What was the Smicha? What was the Bechin? He says, you went to Vainut for 3 days. Mitzvah had nothing else to do but talk to you and learning for 3 days. And he taught you and learning anywhere in Shas and Poiskim, anywhere in Dalchak, Shulchan Aruch, and Shas. And after 3 days of talking and learning with about 12 to 14 hours a day with the Mitzvah Rav, he decided to be roi to get her roi. Be roi for her roi. Now, that was the smicha, what it meant smicha in Europe. There's no Yeridea. There's no, you know, half a Yeridea, a third of Yeridea, a half of a third of Yeridea. Right? From Simon Samach Zayin to Simon Kuf Yud Aleph, you can do the math. I mean, you know, like that's, you know, you can do the math, right? It was with Dal Chalka Shulchan Aruch. It was 403 Simonim in Yeriday. It was 697 Simonim in Arachayim, and it says, man, that's what it meant. See, she was like, what? Gifted Rishiva Kaim says, well, yeah, I saw it. Every single rabbi was like this. You know, the Dos Men of Tamachokim in the hay. That was what Litta was. So it was pashut by him. tefillah, the nusach in yeshiva was that yeshiva gifted whatever the shmuz is about ended up being about Torah. Every shmuz ended up being about learning. Somewhere in the middle of the shmuz, it got hijacked to talking about learning. Talking about midas, that's learning. If you learn, you'll have good midas. You know, they ended up talking about learning. That was in the shiur of time. Every shmuz ended up got hijacked to talk about tefillah. Like every shmuz was about tefillah. Now I can't say it was obviously correct, but that was like the nusach in yeshiva. It was the Rambam in the Rosh Hashanah that there's the Dalad Rambam you say from Chizuk, and he constantly would speak about it. Coming to davening on time, big davening before on time, davening with Hislavus, davening with Kavona, what you parallelize with davening. And we talk saw it. Tefillah by him was Kaddish Kadoshim. It was Kaddish Kadoshim, the Musik of Tefillah in Yeshiva. Because what other better place in the world to daven but in yeshiva, which has the kedusha and the understanding, the ernstkeit of what it means to daven is in yeshiva, and he couldn't understand someone wanted to daven somewhere else. Just, he would come to Cleveland, they wouldn't come to yeshiva. How can I come to yeshiva for davening? That's the best place in the world to daven is in yeshiva. And but it was the musik of tefillah. There was musagim, there's mises, you know, there's mises of yeshuas, you know, different things. He would promise somebody. But promise somebody. It means he would go afterwards and he would spend the hours davening. But a little bit of a glimpse, but I have to talk, I don't know, more personal notes, as much as I was, you know, I it's hard to say if it's a Talmud. It's hard to say if it's a Talmud. If I didn't remember what he said in the Shir, I'm not a Talmud. So, you know, I sat in Shir with Talmud 10 years, but Shir Gifter would say the Blad Shir, Shir Chaim would say the Pilpul Shir. So, it was about 10 years that I heard Shir. And it was Chazor, and I heard it again. It wasn't really Chazor because I didn't remember it from the first time. But the Shiva was, mitzad the Kesher Nafshi, the availability of the Rosh Hashiva for any Talmud, you know, and the awareness. We would go back to visit, and my wife had the aura. It says, you know, it says every single brain cell is functioning by him. He's, you know, he's in his upper 90s. He could walk in. It says Vos Matzum Gedalia. How's from Gedalia? What's with the health of trans? He says, what's with your children? And he would say about their names. He says, what, you know, he was totally aware of what's going on in my life. Last time you were here, you discussed this and this and this, how to work out. Now, I have people come to me asking me a shayla. The next day later, they come back and says, what'd you ask me again? You know, like, you know. And he's pulling it out, not with one person coming through, not with 10 people coming through, but because it was into it. You know, with Kufa, we went through a difficult Kufa. I think every single morning, he expected me to come over to him. What's here? So what's going on? What's the, you know. Every single morning, expecting me to come over to him. Like, if I didn't, he would come over to me. If I didn't walk over to him and inform him what's happening, so he would, you know, walk by as we walk out of the basement to go to his office to take up his 1,000 villain. He would walk over to my seat and, you know, pull me over. So I, after once or twice, I realized that I need to go over to him. What is it? You need to. I want to know what's happening with you. It's important to me. One of my chaverim reminded me of Maisa, which I totally forgot. He actually said over the Maisa, he called him up to get the Maisa correct, because he wanted to say the Maisa correctly, and I remember the Maisa. He reminded me, I remember the Maisa. In 1992, so I was married during 9 years, I got an offer to become a Rebbe in a certain yeshiva, I went to yeshiva, and I asked him, you know, should I... So I take the job. So he looks at me and says, Noch 4 years. 4 more years. Okay? She was Noch 4 years. So, if it meant I should look after 4 years, I should start looking. I don't know, I wasn't sure what exactly that meant. Exactly, you know. In 1996, there's a college which opened up in Cleveland Heights, Ohio, and I was supposed to become the Scan Roish, and I decided not to go. Because if I go, I'm Meshubit to whatever the Lemudimar, and I really had a lot of things I wanted to work on myself, etc. So I'm still in Karlam, I'm having a good time. The first day at Zman, Shiva calls me in and says, we need another Rebbe in Yeshiva. And I became a Rebbe. It was. I made a cheshbon. I think it was off by 3 days. It was four years and 3 days off. The chiyur which we had then was we had the possibility is either was Rucha Kodesh or Tzadok Gadol or Kodesh Baruch Hu Mekayem. We weren't sure which one it was. Like, you know, because he said it different became like that, or but he knew that's how it's going to work out. So that's what he told us. We weren't sure which way to look at it. But he had Oyska Cheshbon. He knew me well enough. He said, "You need 4 more years, and you need 4 years before you leave." He knew the Talmud well enough that he had an Oyska Cheshbon, not 5 years and not 3 years. Why he picked 4 years? I don't know why he picked 4 years. He probably knew better than me why he picked 4 years. But he had a Talmud race to the point that he was able to say, "Nach fir yor." And I have to tell you, those 4 years were probably my best years in Carroll. I stuck tremendously in those 4 years. And for all I know, it's his tefillahs. I don't know. Is he davening? Did he daven for telling me? His musig of taking care of somebody when Tel Shiva was, you know, when the war when the Russians invaded Litha, so the yeshivas were still open for tekufa. It was very difficult. The yeshiva divided up into three groups because they weren't able to keep it together. They were into three groups, and he was in charge of a group of about 80 talmidim. There's an older Talmud already. And the Russians, the Germans broke their pact with the Russians, and they started, the Germans are coming. So there was a big shiloh amongst them who was better, because the communists hated Yeshiva Bokhar, and they were ready to kill Yeshiva Bokhar on the spot. The Germans hated Jews also. What the Germans were doing way beyond, nobody knew about that. They kept it very quiet. So the Germans were a better option than the Russians to many people. The Shiva of Chaim did a Gerela Gra, which is a whole Masera from the Gra, how to take a Tanakh and find an answer to your question. He did a Gerela Gra, and he decided he's going to travel away from the Germans into Russia. And he made an announcement, says, "Well, I'm going." And whoever went, and some people followed him. He says to me, he says, "Ich gay, ich for." Ich for, he said, like with the same at the hand, he was like that. And some people followed him. Everybody who followed him survived. And the rest didn't. Well, they're running away, so they're running away with the Germans, you know, are invading Russia. So they're going one step ahead of the Germans. One of the members of the group got sick with the flu or something like that. He couldn't walk anymore. So what do you do? So Shiva Khan carried him on his back for 2 days. He carried him on his back. Because how can you leave a chaver behind? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Stop? You can't stop. It's a scar for everybody in the group. So what do you do? You carry him. Our gosha, which we had towards Rashiva, the Rashiva was a zaydi. Mamash, it was like pretty much like a zaydi. The hanhaga was, it wasn't the rebbe to a talmud. It was like a zaydi to a mishpach. This is the Kufa. A couple was there in Schweitz. He had 105, 106 years old. From that generation, Michal Yudel was Nifter. That's in the Smina Roy, which is a husband of all of them. I didn't know them. But Rashiva Gifter Zichlo Racha one time said that there was a Korban. And each person has his window into how to see that korban. The Telzer sees the korban from the perspective of Telz. And the Varsha Yid sees the korban from the perspective of Varsha. And the Lodger Yid sees it. We all have our window into that korban. We can't understand it any other way than through our own perspective. But I never met, but I saw what they're supposed to look like. And Shelter 4, that they were the same. And the Talmud of Rabbi Michal Yehuda is getting up, and his Malkum is saying over these type of stories about Rabbi Michal Yehuda is a clear rough. The Talmud of Rabbi Kupelman is getting up and saying these type of stories about Rabbi Kupelman. A Musig of a person who was Makif Terim, Musuk of a person who lived with the moon of Pshuta. Musuk of a person that every single word of the Torah which was given to him was precious and it wasn't forgotten. Musuk of a person he lived with Avos Abrius. He gave up his most precious time, which is precious commodity, which is time, which is Torah, because he listened to other people and he spent time with other people. One of the Masvidim in Eretz Yisrael, just close with this. One of the Masvidim in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Silverberg, Yitzchak Silverberg, was a very close Talmud Rashiva. He's a Rashiva in the Gera there in Eretz Yisrael. He has a nephew you heard of, Tzimayr. His uncle is Ili Niflin, a Talmud Chacham Niflin. Very close. He learned with the Rashiva. He's very close to Rashiva. The Shiva asked him, he got up and he said that he asked the Mechila Barabin. The Shiva gave him his ksavim, five maduras of the shurim, that he should put together a sefer, because he trusted him that he could do it properly. And he didn't publish it yet, he didn't finish it yet. And he has tremendous pain that the Shiva wasn't zaycha to see that sefer b'chayu. He says, but he said a machshava, which the Shiva used to say. The Mor says, If the Rav is like a Malach Hashem Tzavokas, like the Pasuk says, that's who you learn Torah, that's who you want to seek Torah from. Yeshiva said, what does it mean? What's the point of being like a malach? What does it mean to be like a malach? He says, the difference between a malach and an adam is that an adam is a mahalach. He's growing and steiging. A malach is an oimid. The satachom mahalachim and oimdim ha'elu, the Pasuk says. An adam moves and a malach is in one point. So Yeshiva said that if the Rebbe is willing to give up from his own steiging, and not be a mahalach and be an oimid, because that's what he needs to do for his talmidim. His talmidim should steig. He's willing to give up the most precious thing which he has in his life, which is his steiging and learning. In order that a talmid should steig, that's the rebbe that you want to learn Torah from. And the rebbe is still worried about himself. Obviously, the rebbe has to steig because otherwise he can't give over. But the rebbe's main focus is his own personal steiging. You don't want them as a rebbe. He says, here was a Rashiva, could have sat and worked in his shurim, and worked in his tzvarim, and he handled every single detail, the klein of kaitin yeshiva. You know, the bacher who came late to daven, and he would speak to him, and the issue, he was aware of everything, he knew of everything, he was busy with everything. What's with the learning? What do you mean, what's with the learning? There's a muscle you have to take care of. And he was willing to give up his own steiging, his own being, to become that much bigger. Hamashirov Zichel Racha one time said, he says, I was makriv, I've got to be a self for Klal Yisrael. As big as the Rosh Hashiva was, quote unquote, he could have been that much bigger, but maybe he was so big because instead of focusing only on himself, his skinuch was that he focused on others to give to others. And he was left over, that he was able to give over generations after generations. He came to tell the Yeshiva in America in 1947, from 1947 until he got sick a year ago. He was a Rebbe to generations. And that's the schus, which we hope that that's as he comes to Elam Emes and he takes his bechina. Amasetas Bochim. Takes his bechina, Amasetas Dulun. He gets to say over his 180 days that they give him to Darshan. And he has 180 days with the Darshan to say. And they say, well, you could have done more. He says, well, I could have done more. Look what I did. I changed the face of America. My Tamidim, and Tamidim, Tamidim, and Tamidim, Tamidim, Tamidim. Chol Tamideyon, Chol Tamidei Samideyon. We stand as a schus for him. We're zeicha that his nefesh be tzurbet tzurachayim. We should be zeicha that halavai. We should take a little bit, the glimpse of this into our lives, which should inspire us and move us, and then it'll be a schus for him.